Welcome to Pursuing True North's Truth of the Week series. I am Catherine King.
And I'm Jenny Scioto. This week's Truth of the Week is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
So a little bit of background here. We've all heard the stories about the children of God wandering in the wilderness, eating manna for a long time, walking around in circles.
And I have to admit, as a kid, I so judged those people.
I did too. I was like,
okay, they saw the parting of the sea, yet they like complained that they were starving.
Or and that then, they couldn't trust God after you walked through,
the sea. They got manna every day. Like, they didn't have to, like, there was no hunting, gathering. Like, they didn't have to do anything. God provided the food, like, right to them every day. They woke up, woo, breakfast. But they got bored of it. If that was my
kids. If you had to eat toast every day, seriously. Okay. If you had to eat toast every day, would you like it?
I probably wouldn't mind. Like, I'm
for, like,
those,
a little
like,
while.
Yeah.
Like 40 years?
I think I've eaten eggs for breakfast for the last 5 years. Like, I don't.
That's true. I'm
with
you there.
But at the same time, if it was breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, I'd get a little tired of it. But still, like, to complain to God.
But they knew the promised land had milk and honey. They knew there was good stuff. Yes. But yet half the time they were complaining because the food was better in Egypt. But they were also enslaved
in
Egypt.
They were slaves. How is that better? And then I go back. Like, this morning, we were having issues with our website. What the heck is going on? And we're grumbling and all this stuff. You know what? God always provides. And yeah, we're going through struggle, but who was I to judge these people complaining about manna when I'm
yelling at your computer?
The computer isn't even a basic necessity. It is just something I'm frustrated at right now.
Well, it's funny, even just looking back on the stories about the children of Israel, it's so easy for us to look at them and go, oh, well, duh, why didn't you see what God's done for you in the past and then trust him in the future after you've seen all this stuff? And then I look back on my own life and go, oh my goodness, I very much resemble the children of Israel, because how quickly am I to forget God coming through for me on something? As you grow in your faith, it definitely is maybe less often than early on, but it certainly, I can relate.
It's a convicting moment trying to see what they're doing here.
Yeah, so the background on this verse in particular, God was talking to Joshua, because Joshua is now the new commander. Moses had died. Moses knew he was not going to be entering the promised land, but Joshua was the one who was going to. And Joshua is now like, okay, my great leader Moses is gone, and I've got to take these children who are complaining about everything into the promised land. So naturally, he's a bit nervous, probably. Joshua's probably kind of scared. He's probably a bit unsettled. I mean, I know I would be. And as a leader, that's just a lot of pressure on your shoulders. It's a lot of, okay, this is kind of on you a good bit, so don't mess it up. But God explains in a couple verses ahead of that, 7 and 8. And even in verse 9, there's 3 times that God says, quote, be strong and courageous. So he's repeating it, probably because he wants us to remember, we need to be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. There's a lot of confidence for us with this, because God looks at us the same way as he does Joshua. He's like, and you can see that all through the New Testament. The rules definitely apply here as well.
Yeah, and it tells Joshua, be strong, be courageous, don't be discouraged. I mean, all the things.
Yes.
Which they were definitely going through.
He also tells them, do not turn to the right or to the left of the law. And this, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is coming from the actual first chapter of Joshua. That's where we're pulling some of this information, is actually just from that chapter. So he tells them, look, in order to prosper and be successful, this is what you have to do. Verse 8 says, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Well, as leaders, you want to be prosperous and you want to be successful in what you do. Maybe you're leading a team at work or entire departments of major companies. Maybe you're leading your young children, a Bible study, some kind of ministry or a book club. You're a leader. I'm sure whoever's listening to this, you're a leader in some capacity. And you want to be successful and you want to make your way prosperous. And God lines it up for Joshua here and says, this is how you have to do it. But you got to have courage. Like, we're commanded to be strong. We are commanded to be courageous. And we are to take discouragement and throw it over our shoulder.
And he also asked Joshua, he doesn't ask Joshua, he tells Joshua to meditate on the law. So often we say, like, Well, I prayed for it. My prayers aren't answered. John Creese says it best. Sometimes you got to check your heart. I believe here is God was telling Joshua to meditate on the word so that his heart and his desires would align with God's.
We pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, we want our hearts to align with the will of God, because when we pray like that, when we have the intentions in the heart of Jesus while we pray and ask for the things that we need help with, we're for sure gonna have success with that.
Exactly. And we need to make sure, though, that our hearts and minds are aligned with God in that, though. God doesn't grant every prayer, and thank goodness, because there are some things that I've prayed in my life that had I gotten, I would never be in the great life I am now.
Correct. Oh, yeah. If I had gotten some of the things I wanted early on in my adulthood, if you will, everything would be different.
Yeah. God knows best for us. So in instructing Joshua to meditate on the law, and he says, the book of instruction must not depart from your lips. You are to meditate on it day and night.
And also that you're not supposed to turn to the right or to the left of it.
Yes. And that's a lot of pressure.
It is. Yeah, it is. So back to the promise that is being spoken to Joshua in here. It's the promise that God had given his people for a land. So God promises things to his people. There are promises all throughout the Bible for all believers. And that's just a fun thing to go do some research on, is figure out, well, what promises. Google the promises of God and see what comes up and where those are, and they apply to us. Sometimes God makes us personal promises in our specific situations, and sometimes those come about from prayer. Sometimes you get to hear God's voice sometimes, or a voice that's kind of a messenger from God. Like, I know I've heard things told to me, and I backed it up to, does this go with God's character? Is this something, is this the right kind of voice that I'm hearing? Because we all hear voices, and we're not all crazy, but everybody hears voices one way or another. And when you have one that you think is from God, you know, you go check it. You ask your friends about it. You ask, you're like, hey, does this sound right? Like, and then when you know that it's his, okay, well, what part of obedience, you know, because God's asking Joshua to be obedient here. He's asking him to meditate. God's asking him to do these specific things and be courageous and be strong and don't get discouraged. So when obedience shows that we believe without seeing, it is our faith in action. And a lot of times God isn't asking us to do anything completely unreasonable. He knows we're human. He knows we're flawed. He knows we struggle. But he does want to see if we believe what he says. He wants to see that we're going to walk in obedience to see God come through for us. And that's just kind of how he works.
And we need to trust him. We need to have confidence in God. We need to not be afraid. When we have those times that we're feeling afraid or alone or discouraged, that's really the time to dig into the word, dig into the Bible. If you don't know which ones to look up, or if you look at the Bible and you're like, I don't even know where to start, there are some fantastic Bible studies out there. But also, you could even simply start with Google and say, Bible verses on fear, 50 will pop up. You know, if you don't know where to start at all, there's always Uncle Google.
There is. And then there's another piece to it too. Like, we are to bring it to God. Actually, there's a verse that speaks very specifically to not only knowing and seeking God's word, but also to bring it to God personally. Like, there's a prayer component to this. It's not all just, well, if I read enough Bible, that's good enough. Like,
no, you need to internalize it and pray about it and talk to God about it.
This verse comes from John 5, verse 39 through 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. He's not saying here that searching the scriptures isn't a good thing. It testifies of God. It testifies of who he is. And it's a complete witness of Jesus and God and all the promises and everything laid out. Those are all very important things. But you also have to be willing to bring it to God. Like, are you talking with God? He cares about you. He cares about every little tiny thing. Sure, he knows it all, but he wants us to enter into that communion with him and that communication with him. So that is definitely a huge piece of the puzzle.
Oh, yeah. Joshua got to speak directly to God, which was pretty cool. But don't forget, all of the followers back then, the Holy Spirit was all around, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them yet. Yes. Jesus hadn't come and sent him. So not everybody had privy to talking to God. They were just following Joshua, trusting that Joshua was talking to God and following God's
that
orders.
That had to be so much harder, too. Don't you think? Like, okay, I gotta trust this random human leader here. Let's hope that really what he said is what God said.
I can't even imagine not having the Holy Spirit. That, to me, is really scary. The Old Testament just...
I feel spoiled being on this side of grace. I really do.
Very much so. I feel like that's even probably one Joshua must have felt special, but also more pressure because I don't even know what kind of opposition. Granted, it says that they adopted him as his leader, but still the grumblings came because the people didn't know God. They didn't get to
experience
God and have that like one-on-one relationship with the Holy Spirit like we do. They did not have the Holy Spirit, and they had to trust in hearing
and they had to trust Moses, they had to trust Abraham, all these people.
They saw miraculous signs.
I think without that, I'm not sure people would have been able to get down with it, because you know, you bring some guy out of the woods for 40 years and he's like, guess what, I talked to God. You're like, I bet you did. Like, it's not like having the, what was that movie with Tom Hanks, and he's got the volleyball.
Yes.
Who's the volleyball's name? What's the volleyball's name?
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah. You went a little
crazy. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you get somebody out in the woods for 40 years, comes back and says, oh, hey, God, talk to me. You'd be like, all right, I got to see some kind of proof of this. Like, I need to know that this is not just.
Yeah.
But now, in all fairness, like when Moses got his 10 commandments, he went up on the mountain and they came back. They were perfectly done. It would have been hard to manufacture that yourself back then.
This week, our challenge to each other, thinking about, are we being courageous? Fear is easy to have, but we're commanded to do differently. So are we actually walking out that faith of courageousness?
What's difficult in your life right now? Where do you have a little bit of fear? Because I'm pretty sure if we're being honest with ourselves, there's something that we're holding on to a little bit of fear about. Mm-hmm. And take that moment to look into yourself, find your fear, and bring it out. Bring it to light. Be courageous in it. Trust God with it. Bring it to Him on it. And trust He's going to come through for you.
Obedience shows that we believe without seeing. It's faith in act. So I'll tell a little story of courageousness. In my life, sometimes courageousness just looks like taking one step at a time. I was not a stellar teenager, and I was really lost in my late teens. And I finally kind of came out of this fog of depression and just trying to figure out where I was in life and what to do and what God wanted for me in my next steps. And one thing that came to me was I was to join the military. And I have never been a physical person. I've always tried to stay healthy, but running...
So no CrossFit, Jenny?
Yeah, no. Running, not my thing. I used to love kickboxing, but that's kind of the most... And anyway, so in thinking about the prospects of going to the military, kind of terrified me. And I was just, God, am I really supposed to do this? Is this the path that you really want me on? At the time, I was going to college for art, so not really what I was thinking, but you can do photography and stuff in the military, so, you know, maybe that was supposed to be my path. So I go through the steps, and I talk to a recruiter, and take the test and the physical and all that stuff, and finally, they accepted me into the military, and I was about to ship off to basic training, and I was scared. Scared.
Yeah, no doubt. I would be too.
With a bleeping word, and I was just like, oh my goodness. Yeah, anyone who knew me would have swore that I was just gonna fail out of basic training. I was just not. Even people look at me today and they're like, wait, you were in the military? Yeah, actually, and I wanted to stay in for life, and I was in for 10 years before I got hurt and had to get out. But yeah, before basic training, it was just everyone just figured that I would wash out. I don't think anybody really believed that I'd make it through, including myself. And I remember getting on the plane for the first time to basic training. That was the first time I had flown since I was a little kid coming to the U.S. I had not been on a plane most of my life. Then I was flying alone, which was even scarier. And on that airplane ride, though, we were each given, if you go to basic training, you're given like this folder, and you have like a backpack and a folder of the things that you bring. And on the plane, I saw another girl with the same folder. And I was like, oh, are you going to basic training? And she said, yes. And come to find out, we had been living in the same town. Like, she grew up in the town that I was living in to go to college. We had never crossed paths, and it was really cool. And all of a sudden, it was like instant friends. So we were still both a little scared, but it felt
but
so
now
much,
you had each other.
Yeah, it felt so much better having somebody else with me. Thank you, Lord, for sending a friend. Because sometimes you can be more courageous when you're together. And she was super sweet. And we're still friends to this day, even though we live time zones away from each other. And in basic, though, she and I built each other up and we helped each other walk through this scary time. And I thanked the Lord every day for her. And I prayed. That was one of the first times that I can remember praying almost always through everything. Because they yell at you for everything. They yell at you when you eat. They
yell
at you.
I really don't think I do very well with that.
They yell at you when you go to the bathroom. They yell at you through showers. There's just a lot of yelling going on. And it's very nerve-wracking for somebody like me who does not like to get yelled at.
I don't like to get yelled at either. I really don't think I'd handle it well. So that's how you became strong and courageous through that. And it's nice that you had mentioned you had somebody come alongside you, because we're not really meant to do this life alone.
No. Community is very
God very
important.
Much knew that Jenny would do a lot better if she had a buddy. So, and you guys can keep each other accountable to be strong and courageous in things. Tell your friends what you're struggling with and ask them to pray for you. And if you don't have a friend that you know that prays, let us know and we'll pray for you. We're not supposed to go at any of this alone. I do like how kind of in society we have support groups now for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, and a support group is an amazing thing to be a part of for whatever it is you're struggling with, because those people can help you be strong and courageous. But I mean, it's definitely, as a Christian, I feel like we really have to show the world we are strong and courageous, because we've got our God with us. So yes, we've got to like man up on it a bit and say, yeah, I'm struggling, I'm going through a hard time, but I believe I'm going to not be afraid. I believe God's going to come through for me.
Yes. Exactly.
And he did come through for you. You spent how many years in the military?
10.
Okay. I would say you hit the mark on being strong and courageous there, sweet pea, because not many people can do that. And you, so, yeah.
And that changed the whole trajectory of my life, too, because that's where I met my husband and lived happily ever after.
And how many tours did you do?
Overseas, 5 tours.
You did 5 tours, and God was with you everywhere you went, and here you are. So, you are, and what's funny is they were soldiers then. Like, they weren't asking to be soldiers, the Israelites and the children, and Joshua even. He was just like, hey, man, I'm Moses' assistant. He didn't know he was, like, signing up to take out some lands. So,
yeah.
It's amazing what God can qualify inside of you, because he's there for you.
It is totally amazing. There is definitely things in all of our lives that I don't think we could do without him. That's for sure.
So glad you joined us today. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing, and catch all our new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like us and share us. Have a wonderful week. See y'all later.